the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we are broadcasting here from the El Pacifico every night until 10 o'clock on the West Coast and, 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. If you're watching Phil TV in HD and you're wondering what that cluster of lights is on the horizon behind us, that is an oil platform. Can they see that, bud?
Yeah, move the microphone.
There, I've just moved the mic stand. You guys can see it's a oil platform out in the Santa Barbara Channel, and it's something that I'm personally very proud of. I mean, it's nothing I've ever done, but as a Californian and as a lover of the environment, but also as a lover of business, that is an oil rig that drills for oil, and in that channel, while that oil rig is drilling for oil, is some of the most abundant marine mammal sea life in the world, from whales to sea lions to seals. And every time I bring this up, I always get an email or a tweet from an environmentalist really angry at me for mentioning it, because that's not the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like this. Oil rig means oil leak, means dead fish and dead animals and just this Armageddon of sea life. And if you take a boat out across that channel and you're on your way to the Channel Islands, and you go past that oil platform, oftentimes in one of the funnier scenes out of nature, you'll see the sea lions lollygagging and laying on the platform. You know, they're hanging out there, they're resting, they're doing whatever they do, because they go between the coast here and the islands. That's the regular sea lion run. So it is a perfect, marriage of man's needs technologically, and also his concern for the environment. And like I said, the Marine Mammal Act protects this channel, and every winter we see the Pacific gray whales going north and south. Almost year-round, we've got sea lions that are going back and forth between the Channel Islands and the coast here. And every time I bring it up, I got somebody telling me, some environmentalist who so desperately wanted a massive oil leak. I mean, I don't know how anybody could want something like that.
You tell me they really want something like that?
Well, no, they don't want it, but it's almost like they do, you know? It's like, why can't I say that? Isn't that a nice thing to say? Isn't it cool to say, like, we got all these sea lions, and yet we're still drilling for oil? And cats are all just, yeah, you're always saying that, Hendry. What? God, don't be such a grump, man. Sorry the world didn't turn out the way you said it would. You know, sorry that it, solar power and all that other bull crap just ain't making it, you know? Sorry. What did I just hear from, Jimmy Pardo, the wonderful comic with Never Not Funny, and we just did his podcast, and Jimmy's a great guy. Guess what he just did? He just ripped out all the stupid solar lights that he's got in his yard, and he's put in good old electrical lights. You know why? Because the solar lights don't work. And he's sick and tired of having to, you know, do something with these things. I'm sure that there's some that do, but anyway, welcome to the program here. Our number on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show each and every night is 877-876-7445. 877-876-Phil is the number. All right, here is the news tonight, and Larry Grover stands by from Conservatives of Kern County to talk a little bit about this. The word is from NBC that the new running mate that will be named by Mitt Romney is Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, he is the young congressman who is, he's adequately described as one of the young lions there in the Congress. Paul Ryan, in an editorial opinion of the Boston Globe as recently as yesterday, Ryan deserves serious consideration. Well, guess what? It is Ryan. He's 42 years of age. He's the chairman of the House Budget Committee. He, according to some, satisfies the main requirement for being vice president, a readiness to assume the presidency. His foreign policy knowledge hasn't been tested. Despite 14 years in Congress, he hasn't had to withstand the relentless vetting that goes into a presidential campaign. But Ryan has distinguished himself as a politician with real convictions. Larry Grover joins us on our newsmaker line tonight from Conservatives of Kern County. He's in Culver City. Larry, what are your feelings on this?
Well, first of all, I'd say to you, Phil, congratulations to Paul Ryan. I think it's always an honor to be chosen as a running mate for a presidential campaign. Having said that, I don't want to put water on the fire of hope that some Republicans may be feeling, but some conservatives maybe less so. But nonetheless, This is an announcement. It's an announcement that comes almost as if to say, you know, the party's ending, but guess what? Another keg of beer arrived. You know, it's. I think it's too little, too late. And I read the comments that you were mentioning in the pre-show about Mike Murphy saying, you know, don't panic, but maybe panic a little. I the handwriting is on the wall on this, and I'm bitterly disappointed. And
you're not disappointed in the selection of Ryan.
Well, I'm not. It's either here or there. I mean, okay, Ryan got picked. That's great. I don't know. I would have preferred Rubio, but it doesn't matter. And that's the thing that I think we need to face. As Republicans and conservatives, it isn't going to matter. And I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that we'd be looking at this point in the campaign and we'd be expecting to lose. But that's exactly what I think is going to happen. And
so it doesn't. So this campaign and this vice presidential announcement.
Yeah, this announcement doesn't make any difference. I'm sure it's as I said, it's a feather in the cap of Paul Ryan. I guess there's the people that support him, and he's a nice enough guy. Like I said, I would have preferred Rubio, but at this point, it doesn't make any difference. I'll take anybody if it was going to assure a win by Mitt Romney, but it won't. And
well, maybe what we ought to talk about then is what happened. You know,
well, what happened was this. What happened, two things happened that no one expected. I certainly didn't. One of them is that Obama has not alienated the American electorate like many people expected that he would. He has not alienated the American electorate to the extent that he is, you know, the disaster that a lot of, you know, that I thought he would be. And I still think he's a disaster. But what's happened is the American people have not kept pace with the perception, which I think is accurate, of conservatives and the Republican Party. Now, you know, please understand what I'm saying.
But what you're saying is the American people are not as intelligent?
No, just listen to what I'm saying.
Isn't that what you're saying? You say their perception has not kept pace?
But listen to what I'm saying. Yes, it's true that there are those of us in the Republican Party and the conservatives. We just happen to know what's going on in this country a lot better than the rank-and-file American voter. And what we hope for is, as the years go by, we keep educating people, and then they will say, okay, well, I'm going to vote for Romney because it's obvious Obama's a disaster. And they just haven't, you know, they're just not smart enough. They're just not smart enough.
Okay, so that's a tough point of view to try to, isn't that that's a difficult thing to try to sell to people?
You know, it is. It absolutely is. But I don't know what else I can do. I've just got to say it. They're just not smart enough to keep pace with what it is that I and other Republicans and conservatives know. And I'm very disappointed. And I'll tell you one other thing. I take it as personally as I did anything.
By the way, we're talking about Larry Grover. Hold on, Larry. Larry Grover with us from the Conservatives of Kern County. The American voter is just not as smart as Republicans and conservatives.
Well, you know, they're not. And I can't look at it any other way. I can't be dishonest about it. And I feel the way I did way back in high school. If you take yourself back, Phil, when you were in high school, and you remember there was that one girl that went out with the guys, and it was, you know, you know, I don't mean any disrespect to any of the ladies listening, but there was always that one girl that you were pretty well assured was you were going to end the evening. You could have come home feeling a little bit like you got something out of it.
A loose girl?
If you want, and I'm not endorsing, I'm just telling you, when you're 16 years old, this is what you hope. And when you go out with her, all the guys were able to, you know, blank, blank, and you come home and nothing. And you really feel it doesn't get much worse than that. And that's how I feel about this presidential campaign. Like, if I could just be graphic, like you go out with a town slut, excuse me for saying this, and you...
Well, it's not a very good comparison.
Okay, let me just finish the...
No, that's not a very good comparison. You know, I mean, the town slut. You know, we're talking about a presidential election here. How do you... In other words, this was a shoe-in?
It was a shoe-in, yeah. And to come home from a date with a girl that every single guy in town was able to connect with, if you understand, if you, you know what I mean, right?
When I say, yes, I understand what you mean.
All right. And you come home and you haven't got, I don't know how else to say it. You're smelling your fingers. You're
okay, Larry, I get it, and I don't think it's very appropriate.
Well, you know.
Hi, Phil, this is Gloria.
Oh, hold on, I want to, yeah, Gloria, how are you?
Yeah, Larry, he's telling the truth. He came home from a date with, the girl's name was Terry, Tennille Duffy. She was the, you know, the daughter of a pretty prominent man in town. Janine, was that her name?
Mother, I don't want to talk about
that. Okay, I don't, yeah, let's not talk about that.
And he was smelling his fingers.
I don't want to talk about that. Would you please clean it up, Larry?
All right, I'm sorry, but how do you feel when you go out on a date with the town?
I've never been out on a date with the town slut. I never expected anything more than whatever it is that I got. I never angled for anything like that. And
oh, yeah, right.
Look, Larry, I didn't go out on a date expecting anything. I never dated a girl based on that, okay? In fact, in high school, I spent most of my time just, you know, sitting home alone or going out with my buddies on a Friday night. It was, you know, I was not exactly, I didn't have my own car.
Yeah, okay, and so you can relate to that kind of frustration, so why aren't you angry?
Because it's got nothing to do with, that's completely unrelated. We'll be right back. I got to take a break, okay? We're talking to Larry Grover. So Mitt Romney is done.
Mitt Romney is not going to be elected president because the American people do not have the brains to see what we've been trying to show them for 4 years and the humiliation of this.
All right, we'll take a break here.
It's terrible.
All right, we'll let's 877-876-7445. That's an unfortunate comparison. Romney, even with the selection of Paul Ryan, is done. There's no Republican victory. It is it is an interesting point of view or perception, at least on the part of not only of Larry but others, that after 4 years of Obama, the Republican Party has not been able to sway the American people toward the Republican ticket. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I don't want to talk about it. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Culver City. Tonight is Larry Grover, and I wanted you to get your mother, Gloria, back up on the line, Larry.
All right, she's on the other end, right? Mother?
Hi, Phil.
Hi. All right, Mrs. Grover, you know, let's talk about this. You, when Larry was in high school, and we're talking about Mitt Romney and his run for the presidency, and your son Larry has brought up as a comparison here, a date he had with this young lady.
I don't know why she needs to talk about this.
Because I know her name, Larry. It was a girl by the name of Janine Wheeler. It was not a girl by the name of Duffy. It was a Janine Wheeler.
All right.
And Larry had said to some of his buddies that he was going out with Janine Wheeler, and everyone knew that Janine Wheeler was a very, as you said, a very loose girl. And even Larry had said that to me.
All right, why would I say that to you?
Because you would oftentimes share these things with me. It was after Dad died. And you didn't have a man to talk to about it.
So there's nothing wrong with that, Larry.
I don't remember telling my mother. What did I do?
You said you had a date, Larry, with this girl who was, I don't know what the word you used, but you said you had a pretty good chance of scoring.
Yeah, right. You're going to tell me that I said I had a chance of scoring.
Larry, you were frustrated, and I said, go for it, remember?
Okay, all right, Larry, whether you told your mother that she has a memory of it, would she have a memory of it if it didn't happen?
Well, you know, I remember her saying go for it, but I didn't know it had to do with...
I told you, go for it. I said, spread your wings and head for the stars, you know. And
I don't remember that, but,
Well, you know the story.
Yeah, I went out with this girl, and the reason why I brought up this young lady Wheeler, you're right, that was her name, is because I'm talking about the frustration of thinking you've got a sure thing and coming home. And you're laying awake and you're sweating and you're thinking, I'm never gonna get this phone answered. I'm never getting this phone answered.
I know, because I heard you pounding on the walls and talking to yourself that night. And I remember laughing a little bit.
That was the night you were laughing. All right. And she gave me blueberry pudding. And I remember...
No, it was blueberry pie.
Blueberry pie. And I said, this is delicious, Mom. I've never known you to make blueberry pie. And she's like, ha, ha, ha. And I finally got the joke with the blue.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say something to you, Mrs. Grover. You have the most unusual relationship with your son.
Tell me about it.
Hold on for a minute.
Why do you say?
Well, you talk in ways that only a man would talk to a son.
Because I had to be a father to Larry. When his father died at Dodger Stadium, did we ever tell you the story about this?
I think it's on our podcast today.
No, my father died of a heart attack at Dodger Stadium because that was where he loved to be. He loved to go and see the Dodger. And
all the Dodgers, it's plural.
All right, I'm not a baseball fan. I thought it was the L.A. Dodgers.
No, it's the Dodgers. Oh. This is the kind of kid that I had to live with. And
all right, Mother, it's the Dodgers. But my father died of a heart attack at Dodger Stadium, and I said to Mother that at least my father died in a place that made him happy. And what did you say?
I told Larry the truth. He hated the guts out of that pain because of the heartbreak, you know. And
well, it was a love-hate.
No, he hated the living guts of every Dodger that ever walked.
And yet he went to the games.
Yes, he went. He wanted them to win, but he knew that they wouldn't. And he hated the guts. He hated the living guts of every Dodger, even going back to when they were called something else. I forget, the Brooklyn were they ever called the Bums?
That was a nickname for them in the 50s. They were the Dodgers all the way back to the turn of the century, I think.
He hated anything that walked or crawled called a Dodger.
I find that hard to believe.
Larry, I was married to the man. You were a snot-nosed brat, something that we tried to keep from getting crushed by an automobile. That's all you were. We just tried to keep you alive, Larry. You were a little snot-nosed, tow-headed boy that we tried at least to keep you from being crushed by an automobile.
Why? I don't know what any of that means, but the point that I'm...
Oh, you don't know what any of that means, huh?
All right, well, Mrs. Grover, I think we got the story. And the story is Larry had this date with this loose girl. Were you expecting him to have sex?
I was hoping for it, Phil, because Larry was frustrated. He had begun pacing. He had begun walking around with his hands in his pockets, and... I can tell.
Oh, Mother, Dr. Berenger talked about this.
I'm going to tell Phil about it. Larry walked around, Phil, with his hands shoved really deep in his pockets. And you could see that he didn't just have...
Mother, please!
Larry, shut up. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry.
Ah!
And you could see that his hands weren't just in his pockets, but he was fiddling. That they were moving, and I said, Larry, stop that. So I finally took him to Dr. Berenger, and Dr. Berenger said either this boy has some kind of a sexual experience, and this is what the doctor said, or you're going to have to cut holes in those pockets. And
that's when my mother started calling me Larry Joyhole Rover, and she would say that
that's what you called your son?
As a joke, Phil.
No, she'd call up the school and say, would you please ask Larry Joyhole Grover to call his mother? And the whole school, they'd have the auditorium, they'd have the PA and the teacher, and we have an announcement, Larry Joyhole Grover, please call your mother.
So you did this to humiliate your son?
No, I did. I did it to get him to stop fiddling. That's all.
All right, well, we're really, really far away from talking about the presidential campaign.
Yeah, there you go. Bingo. Right there, Mom. I want to talk about the campaign, Mother. Could you get off the phone, please?
Well, Mr. Hendricks,
could you get off the phone, please? Could you get off the phone, please? I'm just going to keep on interrupting you.
Then I'm going to keep asking Mr. Hendricks.
Get off the phone, please. Get off the phone, please.
All right, goodbye.
Mr.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Larry, and we'll try to steer this back toward the presidential election and Mitt Romney's fading hopes. In a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Larry Joyful Grover.
Phil Hendry.
Would Larry Joyful Grover please call his mother?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. With me is Larry Grover. His mother, Gloria, was on the line. We're going to talk a little bit here with Larry, though. And I know that that was rather embarrassing. I don't know why we needed to go through that.
You know, as long as you're entertaining my mother's, I hate to put it this way, but if you're going to entertain my mother's ravings,
Well, she had some information on this girl. You're the guy that brought up this girl, Wheeler or whatever, Duffy?
Janine, yeah. Because, Phil, the reason why I do that, and I'd like to do it without my mother's running commentary, is to say that this election, this campaign with Mitt Romney at the wheel has been much like that date, in anticipation of going out on that date and coming home having gotten a handful.
Why the comparison to a sexual encounter?
Because the frustration level is the same. I'm trying to connect with you, and I'm trying to connect with your audience. You go out on a date with a girl, you think every other guy in town had a wonderful time with her, and they told you the things that they done. Or that they did, and you go out and you're thinking, for once in my life, maybe for the first time in my life, I'm going to come home and, you know, I may not wash my right hand.
Come on, will you, Larry? We got an audience of people who want to talk politics here.
Well, I'm sorry, but this is what has been done to this country. I didn't do it. This was done to this country by a Republican Party that didn't prepare for this election.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. I may not wash my right hand.
Well, that was... Do you understand? Boy, you don't even... You don't even know. You know, I...
Are you hearing him? Larry, your voice is going... Ooh.
Oh, would you get off the other end before I do something I'm going to regret for the very rest of my life?
I have never...
Larry, you got to calm down.
I've calm, but I can't...
I've never been spoken to like...
Hey, get off the phone, will you, Mother, please?
Okay.
Oh, here she goes. Yeah, see? Now it's begun.
Let's just forget it, okay? Just go on.
I was going to say that I did not create this election environment of frustration and anticipation that will not be fulfilled. The Republican leadership did, with this guy Romney, who then went out there and stumbled his way through this campaign.
Yeah, I agree.
That's your mother.
Well, who else do you think? You gonna stop it, Mother?
All right.
Are you gonna stop it, Mother?
Larry, just...
No. Don't say it, Phil, because I've been putting up with this.
What did I do?
If you don't stop it, Mother...
Oh, God.
All right, forget it. The next time you talk to me, I'll be at a police precinct headquarters. Good night.
Oh, God, get him back on the phone.
I don't know, Ben.
Get him back on the phone.
What do you think you're going to do?
I don't know, but I...
I don't know.
Do whatever I got to do.
I'll do what I have to do.
What's going on there, bud?
Oh, just when I put a line.
It really hurt, Mother.
You want to come at me? You go come at me.
All right. Well, I can't even talk about it. I don't even want to go there. All right. I don't know what happened there, but it sounded like there was.
Yeah, it sounded to me like there's some kind of altercation.
I think it's an altercation.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, an altercation. What I'm trying to find out here is she's not hurt, is she?
Well, I'm calling back.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry, you got what? All right.
Larry.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened, man?
What happened? I got off the phone. I went over to talk to Mother, and she wanted to know if a hinge was broken on the door. And I said, what hinge? I stuck my hand in there to look at it, and she slammed the door in my hand.
Your mother slammed the door on your hand?
Yeah, now she's retreated into her room with the TV remote. I'm telling you, most of the time I can deal with it.
I just want to know something. Your mother, you and her were yelling at each other. You got off the phone.
Yeah, I just got off the phone. I was tired of talking with her in the background, and I went over there. And she said,
what did you go over to where?
I went over to where she was, and I had my hands out like...
Like what?
Like I was going to go for her throat, but I was kidding, okay? I was kidding. I swear to God, I was kidding. And that's when she said, could you check and see if that hinge is loose before you do whatever you're going to do? So naturally, like an idiot, I did. And that's when she closed the door on my hand, grabbed the remote, which I had in my belt, and took off.
You know, you live in the weirdest house in the history of the world, man.
Well, now, wait a minute, Phil.
No, you do. You live in the weirdest house in the history of this planet.
Mr. Henry,
No, you got a mother there that is calling you all kinds of names. She knows more about your sex life than you do. You aren't apparently bright enough to know when she's about to slam a door on your hand. She grabs the remote out of your belt. What the hell you're keeping it there for?
I keep the remote tucked in my pants because I don't have a utility. What do you want me to do with it?
How about hold it in your hand?
Yeah, but you're getting up and you're going into the kitchen for things to eat and getting a refreshment. And
okay, so you take the remote and you slide it in your pants.
Yeah, and that's when Mother grabbed it. And it slid down, and that's another thing. I can have her prosecuted, can't I?
No, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. 877-876-7445. We're talking about Larry Grover here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go over to RC in Altadena. RC, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead.
I've pulled up before on your program. I think I talked to you, Mr. Grover. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, I'm a freshman at Bradley Military Academy. I don't know if you're familiar.
I know the Military Academy in Altadena.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know it.
Have you been up there?
We've gone up there and we've done some presentations for the young cadets. Very, very fine school.
Well, I wanted to tell you that most of the cadets here, being of the military influence and being from that background, we was going to vote for Mitt Romney until Obama went and he got bin Laden, and now we want to vote for Obama.
Why would you let that influence, and I know you're not old enough to vote, but are you talking in terms of your support? Why would you let that influence you?
Well, because that's really what we cared about getting Osama bin Laden, and he did it. So, and then when I heard you talking to your mother and how she had her hand in your pants and slammed the door in your hand and everything, this sounds really, you know, you don't sound like the kind of guy that really has it together. And that, you know.
Well, you know, that's my mother. I'm not running for president.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it still sounded pretty stupid, especially when your mom is talking about the girl that you're going out on a date with. And we just think it's a very bad impression that you're giving everybody, and we don't think it's anything that you know, you're not representing conservatism the way that it ought to be represented.
Well, you know, young man, let me say this. I'm not running for president. Mitt Romney is. My mother, my mother is my mother,
Yeah, but what are you talking about this stuff? Why are we even talking about your personal sex life?
Yeah, you were talking about getting the handful, and you didn't even, and you wasn't even able to do that.
All right, let's not talk about that.
No, I know, Mr. Henry, but he wouldn't.
Because I couldn't get a handful doesn't mean I'm not going to make... All right, you don't want me to talk about it.
No, I don't want you to talk about it, okay?
Yeah, but it does show a level of inability on his part. And that's what that's the thing that concerns us the most. That if you say you're going to go grab, I'll only say it one more time. If you're going to go ahead and get a handful and put a smile on your face by sunup, then you really have to You know, go for it.
Young man, it wasn't for the lack of trying, okay?
With the town slut? Anybody could do...
I don't like the idea...
Okay, we're done with this conversation.
Well, I just want to say a big shout-out to...
877-876-7445 to Phil Hendry Show. Larry Grover on the line with us here from Conservatives of Kern County talking about Mitt Romney's fading chances. And when I say fading chances, I mean you're saying that his chances have faded.
I'm saying that this guy, it's over. And I want to bring this. That young man is trying to blame Romney for my failure. That's not fair. But I would also go so far as to say, just because I come home from a date with as he said it, the town slut.
And you said it that way, too.
All right, I said it. Just because I come home from a date with a town slut, and I'm not a few pounds lighter, if you take my meaning.
No, I don't, and I don't want you to explain it.
You don't know what I mean, but you don't want me to explain it.
That's right.
Well,
just go ahead. Keep going.
Jesus. All right. That doesn't make me incompetent. That doesn't make me an incompetent, and that does not make me an individual that cannot analyze the political scene. I see what's happening. I see what's happening to this country.
Oh, Larry, shut up.
Oh, you came out of the bedroom? Can I have the TV remote, please?
All right, I don't want to hear you arguing with her.
Here.
Ow! She threw it right at my chin.
877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray on the line from Culver City doing a lot of Olympic reporting, or rather from Santa Monica doing a lot of Olympic reporting. Margaret, you had something to say to Larry, though.
I do, and here is what I have to say to Larry. I think it is a wonderful thing, Larry, that President Barack Obama is going to have a second term. I don't think that it is something to worry about or anything for us to be overly concerned with. I am glad that Romney is going to lose. I think you need to mend your bridges with your mother. I think you need serious psychological counseling. And I honestly believe that there is a bit of a physical abuse going on both sides. Do you understand? You are abusing her. She just threw the TV remote at your crotch, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That is exactly what she did.
All right. Then there is obviously the need for intercession on the part of the authorities for both of you. For both of you. And that's what I would recommend. And I say, President Obama, God bless you. And I am looking forward to a second Obama term. Thank you.
All right, can I respond to what you're saying?
She's gone.
That's the second. When I brought up the young lady in high school and I came home and I'm looking at my right hand. Now that's the second time that's happened to me, that woman hanging up on me. If I've got something to say... And my ex-wife used to do that, and then she walks out of the room.
Larry, you live a life of frustration, most of it at the hands of females who are smarter than you, who know all the buttons to push, and who are successful, okay?
Why is it every time I call your show, I'm getting my head shrunk?
Because you need your head shrunk.
Yeah, but you're not a head shrinker.
No, and I don't want to be a head shrinker, but you cast me in the role of that every time you call a show. I'm dealing with your mother, dealing with issues you got going back to your wife, your kids, this, that. Now I'm hearing about your high school years and your right hand. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here. I thought we were talking about Romney. I thought we were talking about Paul Ryan. We're talking about some girl named Janine and Larry's high school years and the remote that he keeps in his pants. The world famous... Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
Not
Phil Hendry
anymore.
Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Too.
I don't care.
That one lady was going to agree with me.
I don't care if she was going to agree. She was stupid.
Well, you say she was stupid.
Let me just fill the people in. We got some people calling, one of whom was a woman who said that Obama was a Muslim. Right away, you're dealing with that.
Well, Phil, he's dealing with what?
You want to know why the conservatives are going to lose this election? Because of the segment of them that believed in the whole birther thing, because of the segment of them that concentrated on is he a Muslim, because they allowed that stupid element of their political movement to control a lot of the dialogue, and that sunk as far as I'm concerned, was one of the things that sunk Republicans and conservatives in the eyes of the mainstream of American voters. They don't want to be aligned with idiots.
Why do you call that stupid?
Oh, come on, will you, Larry? That freaking birther thing, the reason why people keep bringing that up, conservatives, is because they don't have the brains to argue about the very economy that they say is being threatened. They haven't got the brains to argue about the national health care plan. Every time they try to, they get their legs cut out from underneath them, so they got to go to the birther thing, or they got to go to the Muslim thing. And after a while, people are not stupid. You know, the rank and file American people see this, and they go, well, they're not answering any questions. They're not giving us any answers. They say Obama's this and that, but what have they got?
So you're telling me that we got a gun that's got empty chambers in it, and I'm telling you that isn't true.
All right, give me some of what it is that the Republicans have to offer.
We have to offer the low taxes.
And how is that going to help? You know, we had the tax cuts. We had low taxes. It didn't stop people on Wall Street and from the banks and from the mortgage companies. It didn't stop them from committing the financial institutions of this country to individuals that were deadbeats, that couldn't come up with money on loans, that couldn't come up with the way to take care of assets that they supposedly owned. They dumped all this stuff back in the laps of the banks. What has that got to do with tax cuts?
If you cut the taxes, then the people that are good are way better, you know.
He was going to say gooder, weren't you, Larry?
Would you shut up, mother?
But you get her off the phone, will you?
Mr. Henry doesn't want you on the phone.
He does, but he doesn't.
So in other words, Larry, what you're telling me is cut the taxes and a magical group of people will appear who are way better than the ones who had tax cuts before. These are business people that are going to do what? You know, the very people that were signing these people to these bad loans, the very people that were signing these people to these mortgages, that were the very people that were doing this kind of business, these people were big business people. These people were people benefiting from tax cuts. These people had successful businesses. It didn't keep them from doing business in a harmful way.
Well, you look, Obama, all he's done is saddle us with the biggest debt that we have ever had.
Yeah, he saddled us with a big debt. You know, Ronald Reagan was a deficit spender, too.
Ronald Reagan didn't, you know.
By the way, I hate to tell you this, but there was a very interesting chart that was making the rounds showing Obama's rate of federal spending to be much lower than any president since Reagan, or actually since Carter, in terms of the percentage of increase. Reagan was a huge deficit spender.
Yeah, but Ronald Reagan could do that because of the economy was way back. Look, if I had my choice, I'd vote for Ronald Reagan. But he's dead. And if he were alive, he had Alzheimer's disease, so that wouldn't be, I wouldn't do that. But I would want him. That's who I want, you see. And
really? That's nice, because Reagan's dead.
I know he's dead, but that is who I would prefer. And
well, you don't have him anymore. We had him for 8 years.
I understand that, Mr. Henry.
So you'd want a guy like him?
I'd want a guy like him. There you go. I'd want a guy like him.
Why isn't Romney like him?
Because Romney is not. He's, first of all, the thing about Romney, as you know, he's more of a liberal. You know, you know, you've got me at a disadvantage here. You're asking me about. I didn't do my homework. You know, I didn't think I had to come in here and defend this guy. I realize that Romney is no good.
Well, I don't know that Romney is no good. I'm not. What I'm telling you is the following thing, and you're just going to have to accept this. The Republicans, the conservatives, whatever the hell you want to call them, had an opportunity, or so they told the rest of the American people, that Obama was going to destroy this country. He was going to destroy this economy in such a way that would be so convincing and so cataclysmic that we would have no choice but to vote for the Republican candidate in the next election. That it would be as clear as the nose on your face.
And it is.
Is it? You got people in your own party now who haven't given Mitt Romney a snowball's chance in hell to win this election. You got people now who are saying that Obama is going to be the independent choice like he was back in 08. You have people now saying that compared to Romney, Obama is Ronald Reagan in terms of public confidence.
Yeah, look, Obama's his approval rating is no good.
Whatever, man, but I'm just, it isn't really about Obama. It's how bad you guys have dropped the ball. Now, you're telling me that you have, I asked you to defend or at least to give me the Republican Party's view on this economy and what they would do. Talk about tax cuts, right?
Yeah, extend the Bush-era tax cuts, and that puts more money deep into the pocket of the... And look at, see, Mother...
When you talk about going deep into the pocket, Larry, look...
Boy, I'll tell you, now she's got me thinking about those days when I was a young kid.
Joy hole. What they should call it, Phil, is the joy hole.
Get the phone, will you?
All right, Mrs. Grover, it's not helping, okay?
Hey, Mr. Henry said it's not helping. Mother said that you want to call it the joy hole economy? All right, let's call it the joy hole economy, where we cut a hole in our pocket and the money runs out. That's Obama. That's not me.
No, that was you.
All right, you know, the answer is you can't answer it, and I don't blame you, because there is no easy answer. And but one thing is very clear. One thing is very, very clear. Romney and the Republicans have failed to capture the confidence, the imagination, whatever you want to call it, of the American voter. They have failed, and I thought it was, according to them, it was going to be a slam dunk.
You know, Mr. Henry, it's a long way to Tipperary, my friend, otherwise known as November. I forgot when the election is.
November the 8th. I'm only kidding. Hey, what's the date?
Never mind. Thank you, Larry Grover. Ted Bell coming up next. Long way to Tipperary. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.